Psalm 138, a Psalm of David. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth for ever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Amen. Perhaps as we read the psalm, you are struck by the bold purpose of the psalmist. The very beginning, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name. This wonderful, repeated determination, this bold assertion, before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. There is only one God. What does it mean, before the gods? Well, it may be a reference to the false gods, the non-gods. Before the unbelieving world and all the confusion of their religious thought, the psalmist is unashamed to stand and to praise the living God. But this word gods is also used to describe those who have been given power and authority in this life. Kings and rulers, governors, judges. And surely expresses this determination, perhaps as reference to all the confusion of the false non-gods, but particularly as reference to standing before all the intimidating pomp and splendour of the world. Those who bask in their present power, before them there is a determination to give praise to God. Honour to whom honour is due, but praise to God. It's a wonderful expression of courageous faith, isn't it? I will. I will. It's a resolve not to be ruled by feelings. And it's wonderful that that decision is made now. It's not a decision to be made at some later point. It's tragic, but some people seem to live that way. That there's not a resolve to stand for the things of God, but rather there's a, when the time comes, they'll kind of weigh things up and maybe see what they might kind of do. But that's a recipe for disaster. Because if you can't make a decision now, when you have time to consider and to see and to make that decision, that resolve to follow after the Lord, how can you make it on the hoof in the midst of trouble? You know, when you're overwhelmed with the difficulties, well, these difficulties, they overtake, they weigh heavy upon you. Indecision takes over. I will praise thee. That bold determination. When I think of my children learning, I realized that one of the great difficulties, one of the great obstacles to their learning, is their tendency to distraction. It's very hard to learn if you're distracted. But not only, children, must you pay attention in order to learn your lessons, you must learn to pay attention in order that you might live your life, because it's necessary throughout life to be able to pay attention. There's so many things that you will not be able to do if you do not learn to pay attention. Can you imagine getting into the car when the driver was someone who was constantly distracted, who was always looking over their shoulder, who was always fiddling away with something, who was never looking out the window, who was never looking at the front window, never looking at the road? You wouldn't get in. You see, I'm not going to be driven along the road by this, because it's a disaster waiting to happen. And you'd be wise. But you know, there's many people, and they're driven through life with emotion in the driving seat. That's all that matters. What they feel at this particular moment. And yet emotion, it's as much unreasonable as it can be unreliable. You know, one day you awake and you feel good, and yet in a moment you feel down. And then in a moment you feel overwhelmed. And then in a moment that can change again. You need a more reliable driver to take you through life than emotion. And the psalmist, there's no place here for emotion. There's joy, there's a rejoicing. There's not an absence of emotion, but emotion is not the driving force. It is decision. Decision based upon faith, conviction, the knowledge of God, I will praise thee. And that's what you need to make tonight, friends. That's what we all must make. It's a clear and calculated decision. Calculated in a sense that we know God, and therefore, based upon a knowledge of his grace and of his mercy, that decision can be made. Maybe you kind of, you agree in principle, but you admire the boldness of the psalmist who makes that resolve and who enters into life with his determination to worship it. Maybe you're fearful of being strong, fearful of being bold, fearful of appearing confident. You know, little you against all the uncertainties of life. And there's a sense in which you're also hesitant to imply that you're able to do it. You don't want to draw attention to yourself in that way. But look at verse 3. See, here's the psalmist's reason for his boldness. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. The psalmist is able to be bold and courageous because he knows that strength and power is given by God. Strengthenest me with strength in my soul. That's a wonderfully strong statement, isn't it? He strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All kings, we're told in verse 4, of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. And you might say, well, if the kings of the earth will praise the Lord, and if they will hear the words of the mouth of God, why do I need to be so bold to speak? Can't I just keep my head down and hold back a little And this will happen in the fullness of time. Why must I speak if God will speak? Well, here's my question for you, if that's what you're thinking. How is God's voice heard? You say, well, that's easy. God's word is the scripture. I say, yes, you're correct. But how is that heard? The scripture is heard because it is proclaimed by the church. So we can say that God's voice is heard when the people of God boldly proclaim it, announce it, declare it, make it known. It's through the proclamation of the church that God's voice is made audible in preaching, in worship, in distribution of the scripture, in missionary outreach, in collective Christian living. Say collective Christian living because we live as believers together. And it's that love for one another which bears testimony to the fact that the Lord is in our midst. It's the Spirit of God who gave the word. It's the Spirit of God who opens the eyes of individuals to understand the word, who gives a mind and a will to receive and to obey. But what is the individual responding to? It's the testimony of the church. It's the declaration of the people of God. The psalmist is bold, is determined to praise the Lord with his whole heart and to sing before all the gods, all the great and mighty individuals, and to worship toward the holy temple and praise the name of God. So that God is made known. So that the word of God is heard. So the people would indeed praise God. And what you need to understand tonight is that your voice is to be a part of this. You might say, me? Little me? You say, no one misses, no one notices me. It's not just that I'm irrelevant in the great scheme of things. I'm just irrelevant. I'm just a nameless nobody in a corner. No one has any interest in what I believe. No one has any interest in coming to worship with me. Friends, yes, you're small. You are, I am, we are. Small, but significant. Because this is the wisdom of God. This is the way of God. He gave his word to his people. That you, his people, might take the word out and make it known to the ends of the earth. And there are people today who do not know and who have not heard. And we have a responsibility so that they might hear and so that they might know. We have a responsibility to sing that word, to speak that word, to support and to enter into gospel endeavour, to resist temptation and to live holy lives with a consistency and an integrity and with a zeal demonstrating the reality of the gospel. Not that you or I can convince anyone, never mind the kings of the earth. But knowing that God is able to take the little that you might do and use it mightily and powerfully. And so John Knox was able to pray, give me Scotland or I die. enable me to stand and boldly speak. And he stood before the monarch. He stood before all the power of the nation. And he spoke the word of God. And God's voice was heard. And they trembled. You're no John Knox, and I'm no John Knox. But in our own particular corner, in our own particular place, wherever the Lord has placed you, small maybe, but significant definitely, your responsibility to resolve to speak the word of God. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Verse 4. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. This speaks not just of their hearing, but their receiving, of their believing, of their rejoicing. This speaks of gospel advance. This speaks of the knowledge of God extending over the face of the earth. The psalmist goes on in verse 6, though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. The Lord remembers the humble, the little, the weak. Don't fear to obey. The Lord who sustains, so that his work might be done. Verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. A boldness here, because there is a realization that the work the psalmist is called to is the work of the King of Kings, and it will prosper. You know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and therefore you can boldly commit yourself unto him, not because you're strong and mighty, but because he is. His purposes, which are bigger than you, they involve you. Yes, you're small, but you're significant. For the Lord addresses you, and the Lord instructs you. And you're not called to do this alone. Not only have we the promise of his presence with us, his sustaining grace, of his strengthening us with strength in the soul, but also we can sing this together, we can assert this together, we can encourage one another together. We will praise God with the whole heart. Before the God, we will sing praise unto thee. It's expressed in the personal, I will, but we express it together because we will. And his name will be glorified. The name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is exalted in the heavens. His name will be declared. And the powers of the earth will bow before him. All the authority they have is a derived authority, ultimately derived from him whom they resist. The madness of resisting the one who has given them a little power, only for a little time. But that power will be taken again, and each will be called to account. I will praise God. Will you praise God? Let us praise God.